Well, my name is Francesco Mellina, and as you can tell by my name, I am Italian. I was born in the region of Calabria in southern Italy.
Okay, Francesco, so how come you ended up in Liverpool photographing the nightclub scene?
Well, originally it stemmed from being always interested in things English, and in particular things Liverpool. When I was a boy back home in my hometown, I was always drawn to everything that was English. So I would, at the age of 10, I attempted to teach myself English, you know, by going to the local library and picking up, you know, English-Italian dictionaries and things like that. And
My wife Monaco is very much the same. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, actually, she fully understands what I'm talking about. So I was fascinated by everything English, and nobody could believe it. In fact, my mother used to say to me, you know, you were born here, but you don't belong here, you know. And you know, that was a very wise thing, because I think she knew deep down that I wouldn't stay there. And I think I was about maybe 14 or something like that when I discovered the Beatles, and that was it. I mean, once I discovered them, I really knew that I had to be in Liverpool. And so at the age of 16, I left home, and I travelled around Europe, you know, for several years. And when I was about 21, 22, I arrived in Liverpool, which was ultimately my final destination. That's where I wanted to be, and I knew as soon as I got it that I would love it. And so, you know, I mean, I know it's one of those things, you know. If you're born in Liverpool, you find it very hard to understand that somebody from southern Italy would end up here and love it so much. But I love Liverpool. I love the people. I love the city. I love the defiance of the people. You know, I just love that aspect of it. And the reason why I came to do the photographs was because once I got to Liverpool, I became aware, obviously, I already knew that there was a cultural scene, but of course, once I was here, I was then able to actually witness it firsthand, and I realized that I really wanted to be part of it. And so I also realized that I couldn't play music, I couldn't sing, so my next idea was, well, maybe I should do something with a camera, because it's something that I can learn. And so I enrolled for a three-year course at the Art College in Hope Street, and it was a part-time course. And then that was it. Once I picked the camera up, I was going around photographing everything in sight, and then eventually I found out that there was this club called Eric's. And of course, me being me, I ended up in there, and as soon as I got in there, I realized this is where I want to be.
It was a bit easier to get in art colleges in those days, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
The same finances and
experience. To be honest with you, I am amazed that they took me on. Maybe because I'm Italian, they don't let him in. Yeah. To this day, I do not know. But, you know, there was a lot of, there was a lot of freedom.
You haven't perfected the Scouse accent already, had you?
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, my English in those days was not as fluent as obviously it is today. But, you know, people, I could speak English. I could make myself understood. And, you know, the way you learn a language anyway, my belief is that you got to live where, in the country. Whatever language you want to learn, you got to live there. And then you pick up all the various nuances, you know. And so that's how it goes. And I said, to go back to the photographs, I'd realized that that's what I wanted to be. I also realized that in a very short time, I realized that there was nobody in Liverpool that was doing this kind of photography, i.e. rock photography, which I didn't know was called rock photography, but I then learned later on that there was such a term as rock photography. And so I went, and one of the first bands that I photographed was the Cramps. And I absolutely loved them because they were so unique, so outrageous. So exciting, well, to me and to other people, obviously. But I just thought, you know, and I went down there and I photographed them. And then I thought, well, I got the photos now. What do I do with these photographs? I got to do something with them. And also, and again, through people talking to people that I knew, they said, Francesco, maybe you should, you know what you should do? You should send these photographs to, you know, the newspapers, like the NME, Melody Maker, Smash It. And of course, that's what I did. So I started sending photographs and saying, you know, to the features editors of each magazine, and say, well, look, I work from the Liverpool area, I'm covering this, and so I'm covering this area, would you be interested in me contributing to the paper? Lo and behold, within a year of me starting doing photography, there was the explosion of the Liverpool bands, the Bunnymen, Teardrops, White Heat, you know, Dead or Alive, and so on and so forth. So that, because I was unique, there was nobody else covering that aspect of photography, it gave me, you know, the passport, in a way, to enter into the publishing of my photos with them, because I was the only one that had these photographs of these bands. I was on the spot. So it was easy for the newspapers to just use my photos rather than send one of their photographers from London.
Yeah, they still do that now.
Yeah, exactly, but that's my point. And so I was in the right place at the right time, so that gave me, you know, my ticket into that world. And so, of course, they start publishing my photographs on a regular basis, and then they would commission me to do, concerts, for example, for them, you know, like live concerts, and they would send a local journalist who would do the writing, and I would just do the photos. And so this is how it developed, and then, you know, I started getting published in The Face, which was, you know, a huge success in those days, and so on and so forth, and that basically allowed me also, a lot of people in Liverpool knew me, and then I started travelling in Manchester, I travelled to London, I travelled to Glasgow, where I did photographs of all the Scottish bands, like Orange Juice, Altered Images, Joseph Kay, As the Camera, you know, so, and then I got to be, people started to get to know me all over the country, if you see what I mean, and so, at that, because people, also the promoters knew me, because they seen the photos with my name on it. And also, Nick Logan gave me a special card, actually saying that, you know, Francesco Molina, you know, is actually a bona fide freelance photographer working for The Face. So of course, with that, then I had VIP pass everywhere I wanted.
Yeah, and so definitely pays to be the first one on the scene, doesn't it?
Well, obviously that's the case, isn't it? You have to be first. If you're first, you always get an advantage, because, I mean, other people then took it on, you know. Other people, one or two of the Liverpool people thought, ooh, you know, like young people like myself thought, oh, maybe, hang on, maybe we should be doing that ourselves. And so one or two developed, you know, like John Stoddart, who then has become quite famous, you know, in his own right, not just through rock photography, but he's doing a lot of fashion. But, you know, I still remain, basically a rock photographer. Then, through my work, I was approached by Peter Burns, who was on screen there, and, you know, because I photographed him, and I got him in the magazines, and he wasn't even in a band then. And he said to me, Francesco, you know, would you like to manage me? And I said, yeah, just like that.
Right.
And so, there started my sort of professional relationship with Peter Burns and Dead or Alive. And then I signed them through me. You know, I started my own label called Black Eyes Records, and then we'd released two singles on that. And basically, those two singles were just a vehicle for Dead or Alive to get noticed. We got noticed, and I signed them to CBS Records for, you know, a 5-album deal. So it was a major deal. And then we had Top 20 Hits with Sophisticated Boom Boom album, and a cover version of Kissy and the Sunshine Band, That's the Way I Like It. We traveled to America. You know, we did tours in Britain, and so basically that developed. And then after a while, you know, as these things generally happen, you kind of fall out a little bit with one another, because you see, you know, you start seeing things differently. You know, they wanted to do things one way, I felt that wasn't the correct way, you know, commercially, and, you know, this eventually, it's like any relationship, you know, you tend to have arguments, and so once you start arguing too often, it happens that you realize, you know, this particular chapter is coming to an end. And then I concentrated a little bit more on music, but I did not really pursue it much longer after that. I still did photography, I still do photography, you know, but I'm not working as I used to do.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because the photographs here just go up to 1982.
Right? Correct.
That's a long time ago. I was just wondering what's happened.
Well, what's happened was that in the intervening years, I did photographs up until, you know, 86, 87, but I was doing sporadically. And then I thought, well, you know, I didn't do anything anymore. That's why the negatives were sitting there for 25 years in the boxes.
Yeah.
And I never really did anything. Although I was photographing things for myself, I wasn't really doing anything in a professional sense, but I'm doing it, you know, I'm doing it professionally now. This has rekindled my enthusiasm for it, and it all this happened literally almost to the day a year ago. A year ago, what you see here was actually in boxes, and this is the honest truth. You know, it was a chance meeting with my friend Darren Ling, you've seen around in here, and he remembered me. I didn't know him, but through a chance of meeting through a common friend, he said, "Francesco, oh my God, I remember you from Eric's when you used to do the photo." I said, "Really? I don't remember you." And he said, "No, but I do honestly remember." He said, "Could I see some of the photographs?" I said, "Yeah, by all means, why not?" Then I went around to his house, showed him some of the photos, some of the prints that I had still, and he was delighted. He said, "Oh my God, you know, what's happening here? This is fantastic." Because one of the bands that I showed him was the Stray Cats. And Stray Cats are his favorite band. And he seen that and he said, "Oh no, Francesco, you got to do something with these images." So he then put everything on digital, filed everything for me, all the negatives. We're talking probably 7 to 10,000 images. So, you know, and we still got at least, I don't know, 3,000 to actually scan. But we know that those 3,000 are relevant to a particular thing. This we knew we had to do in order to get things moving. Once we had it on digital, we then could see exactly what was in front of us, and we thought, oh my God, you know, all this. We're going, "Oh, you remember him? Oh, you remember that place? You remember?" And we were like kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So because everything started flooding back, you know, 25 years later, it's bound to it. And we both realized that we had some kind of, you know, a little moment of history. You know, in that culture and musical scene. Of course, you know, that was the last big musical scene in Liverpool in the 80s with the Bunnymen, Teardrop, Waheed, Pink Military, Dead or Alive, you know, the Naughty Lumps, and then there was people like, you know, the Pearl Fountains, the Wild Swans. I mean, these guys are still going now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and you know, I mean, look at that.
Yeah, they do make you laugh, these pictures. Right?
Yes, exactly.
It's not just pictures of band, it's a snapshot of what...
It's a snapshot of the era, and I think that's what it's important for me as well. The importance for me also is not so much the bands. Yes, the bands were important and are important, but also what I like to present is the you know, the other side of the coin, i.e. the people, the clubbers, the people that, you know, they went to those gigs, they went to those clubs, you know, like like Mr. Pick was like Cagney's with the New Romantics, you know, and you know, it's looking back, it is a fantastic, you know, moment in time when, as you know, in those days, Liverpool was in the doldrums, you know, economically through the various, you know, political situations there of the time. But this, you know, my photographs, without being boastful about it, you know, captures, you know, another side of Liverpool, the side where people had fun. Despite the, you know, the hardship, the economic hardship, people were having fun. The young people, we were all enjoying ourselves. You know, we went out, we dressed up, you know, we were going out, we were having a laugh. And I think the image of the two girls, which is the lead image for the whole exhibition, I think the reason why we chose that, no, I think I know why we chose that, we chose that specifically because it's saying, look, you know, although Liverpool was in the doldrums economically at the time, this was going on. There was a life, there was vibrancy, there was excitement. You know, people were prepared to, you know, to put themselves out just to have a good time. And the thing for me is that this captures, you know, that particular moment in time. And the photo of the girls at the lead image encapsulates that kind of happiness. You know, people look at that image and go, "Oh my God, weren't they having a good time?"
Yeah.
And that's essentially what I wanted to represent. I wanted to show, you know, that there was that side of life in Liverpool as well.
Yeah. We're wondering, actually, you don't look like a punk yourself or a New Romantic. What sort of thing were you wearing at the time?
Well, you know, as you know, obviously, you know, you cannot... I was always... because, obviously, being Italian, I liked that. I mean, I wore earrings, I wore the punk... T-shirts, but I never did. I had my hair dyed because I didn't believe in that.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a state of mind rather than, you know, the way that you dress. Yes, the way that you dress obviously states what you believe in. But I think for me it was also, you know, in like today, in most of my life, I was known as the man in black in those days, you know. And of course, because I was so much younger, I had jet black hair, and, you know. So, and I would wear, you know, I used to wear, for example, Vivian Westwood clothes, you know. And I mean, in 1980, you know, when you think and you say to people, you're wearing that Vivian Westwood clothes, they don't realize that she's been going for that long.
Yeah.
They don't realize she's been going since 1975.
Right, yes.
You know, when we used to go, I used to go to London with my friends, you know, to go to a shop called Saks and Seditionaries and World's End and, you know, all those shops that she had. And we used to buy those, I mean, I used to save like forever just to be able to go there one day, you know, catch the early train to London at 6 o'clock in the morning, get there by nine, go to a shop and buy, you know, just one item.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, so that I could come back to Liverpool and go, I've got this, nobody else has got it. And generally, nobody else had it.
Yeah.
You know, so I was wearing Vivian Westwood, I was wearing things like Catherine Amnett, I was wearing things, then we discovered Comme des Garçons, we discovered Yohji Yamamoto, you know, and extremely expensive.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, you bought, even if you bought the t-shirt, the point is, it was a Vivian Westwood t-shirt, it was a Yohji Yamamoto t-shirt, or, you know, a Catherine Amnett t-shirt. That's what mattered.